It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. Dublin away, Croke Park. The big preview show is upon us. Today's podcast is going to be jam-packed full of highlights from some of our Patreon coverage this week because, my God, we had some great highlights. John Gunnigan, welcome along.
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
That's coming up a little bit later. We got a preview to do first, isn't that right?
We do indeed. We do indeed. And a Dublin preview at that.
Ah, yes. Dublin away in the league. Let's get some of Mayo's highlights over the last 10 years. Moving on. So joining us to not talk about Mayo's highlights over the last 10 years in Croke Park in the league, because we haven't many of them. Conor McKeown of the Irish Independent, making your debut on the Mayo News Football Podcast, but hopefully the first of many this season. How are you?
I'm very good, Rob. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Listen, it's good to have you along. Mayo, Dublin, league games. My God, did they contrast Mayo, Dublin, championship games over the last few years?
Yeah, they have done. And it's an odd, like, we did an interview today with Dane Rock. And, you know, he was talking about the importance of this game at the weekend for Dublin. And you would usually see that this fixture in reverse. It's amazing just in the space of the last 6 months or whenever it was that Mayo beat Dublin in the All-Ireland semi-final, how quickly the dynamic has turned. Because there have been big defeats for Mayo when they've come to Croke Park, and even the odd time when Dublin have won in Castlebar, that have maybe attached kind of, you know, those early season kind of, you know, the questions of where are we going here and what's wrong and what do we need to get going. And I think, you know, if Mayo were to win at the weekend, then I think the crescendo that's building around the Dublin team at the moment would probably go to that level as well. So, you know, it's no coincidence that Mayo haven't beaten Dublin for the past 10 years in the league, because it was one of the games that Dublin would have always targeted. You know, that was the game you'd see players coming back from that wouldn't have played in the early rounds. That would be the game that they would target to get themselves on the pitch. And Mayo, along with Kerry, were the two teams that Dublin, I suppose that their attitude would always be, you can never beat these guys often enough. You know, if you give them an inch, they'll take your arm off. And I think it's probably the reverse dynamic going into Saturday.
But Conor, isn't it strange that we never reciprocated? You know, I mean, Kerry always did. Kerry always brought the fire to those league games with Dublin. They even beat them in a league final, like inside the last 5 or 6 years. But frequently, as Rob says, like, we just didn't show up. And that wasn't even confined to Croke Park, where we put in, I think it was three just desperate performances in the 3 times we were there. But also in Castlebar, because, I mean, Dublin gave us some right scutchings down in Castlebar as well. And we didn't show up. I mean, Malachy Clarkham was on the podcast there last week, and he said, like, from Dublin's point of view, They looked at the start of every league campaign and they said, there's 2 points for us in the bag, without even thinking about it. And I think that we always scratched our heads about that. We always expected we would bring the fight to them. We never did.
Yeah, it's an odd one. And I don't know whether the profile of the Mayo team, like, I think in the last 2 years, it has undergone a huge sort of regeneration in terms of younger players. And maybe that profile would make it easier for them to go a little bit harder or a little bit better earlier on in the year. Because Dublin certainly have that. And look, even if you trace the kind of rise of Dublin to the force they became in the past decade, a lot of that started, or certainly some of the early work was done in Castlebar or Tralee or Killarney. The Dublin went out of their way that every time they played the team that they would likely have to play an All-Ireland semi-final or a final with, they made it an absolute point to beat them. And you could see that they were sore coming off the pitch when they didn't. And at the very least, you know, I think the game you're referencing there was the 2017 All-Ireland or league final, when Dean Rock missed that 45 into the Hill 16. And you could tell they were sickened coming off the pitch. I think they'd won 4 leagues in a row prior to that. But, you know, like, I think that was a huge part of Dublin's development in the past decade. And you know, I think the point you make is yeah, it's curious that Mayo haven't shaken more of a leg. But I was up in Clonus with Malachy and Mike Finnerty the last day, and, you know, it was obvious that when Mayo weren't at their best, you know, there was a bit of muscle memory and a bit of just nous and experience that they had to go and win in Clonus, which is no easy feat. And I think they will be in much better shape going into this game on Saturday than they have in previous years playing Dublin in the league.
It's a point, Conor, that just to extend for a second, I've often joked with Barry Cullinan from the Galway perspective. I'm like, you guys face Kerry in a league game and it's a nice fluffy game where you're just kicking the ball around and some great scores. We face Kerry and they're lamping into us in February. Mayo seem to attract this as well. We attract it from all these teams who want to have a cut off us. You may remember us in the qualifiers, the Kildares, the Fermanaghs, the Armaghs, the Derrys. They all bloody well believed they could beat us. And they all came damn close. In Kildare's case, they actually did go and do it in Newbridge. So Mayo seemed to bring out the best of other teams, I think, at times. Does that make sense?
Well, they've definitely brought the best out of Dublin, you know. I mean, I think the best Dublin performance of the past decade was probably beating Mayo by a point in 2017. So, like you know, but I think it's probably easy for teams to get up for Mayo because they know that more or less they're going to play man-to-man. You know, you kind of know what Mayo are going to do to you. Unless they're having a particularly good day, they're unlikely to kind of wipe you off the face of the planet in the first half of a game. So like even the last day, and, you know, winning in Clonus, as I said, is I don't think it's any mean feat, but like you came away from that game sort of impressed by what Mayo did, but impressed in the way you expect to be impressed by Mayo. You know, and that's not a criticism. No. It was like, right, well, what's after happening here? Well, you know, Paddy Dorkin and Lee Keegan are after driving the team on from the back. Ryan O'Donoghue was gotten in, shimmy the goal. You know, it wasn't as if they solved the question of who's going to pair Matthew Ruan in the middle of the pitch. It wasn't as if, you know, the sign of who's going to replace Tommy Conn. You know, and maybe the end of January or the start of February is not where you're going to answer those questions anyway. But I mean, I think that's the thing about Mayo is that for all those teams that played them, even Clare, if you remember that qualifier that year as well, I think teams know exactly what they're going to get against Mayo.
Yeah, just on that point about Clonus, Conor, I mean, we've been scratching our heads, but it was worth putting the question to you as well. Did you see anything different from us? Because that's the point we just said. It looks like plan A, doesn't it?
It does, but I think just going through it there earlier on when I knew it was coming on, like if you were to draw the options that James Horan has, like defense-wise, he has absolutely got the best selection of defenders in the country. And like, I don't know what the story is with Owen McLaughlin, a brilliant young player with loads of pace, like he's exactly the kind of player they could afford to lose. You know, like we haven't seen Oisin Mullen yet. Can't wait to see more of Enda Hessian. You know, even from Sam Cullinan as well. Like, you know, like that's an area that they're well stocked with. And I know a lot of people would say that last year, you know, the big addition to the team was up front, you know, between without Killian O'Connor when they had Tommy Conroy sort of nailing his colours to the mast as a top class inside forward. But I actually think last year the big one for Mayo was O'Hara, you know, just a guy to lock down the number three position. You know, Mayo have had an awful lot of good fullbacks over the years, but never in the kind of very no-nonsense style. Very psychologically strong. You can even see it. There's a touch of the Rory O'Carroll's about him or something like that. I think he's a huge player. I was surprised with Cohen in midfield. I mean, I know he came off, but it didn't strike me maybe as an experiment that was destined to succeed either. I would have thought if you're building your defence, Cohen is nearly your holding six if you're going to play like that. O'Hara is your three. And then after that, you know, I mean, you just have a load of brilliant, brilliant ball carriers that you can build the rest of the defence around.
Yeah, I think it was a case of needs must in Clonus, and I think he just tried and it didn't work. And I could see, like, if we were looking at team selections for Saturday night, I think it's very, very likely we're going to see one change and one change only, you know, and that is Matty Ruan will come in at midfield. And Stephen Cohen will go to the halfbacks. And now, whether or not that's the team that'll start is another day's work. But you can certainly see that'll be the team that will be selected.
Yeah, yeah. And like even, you know, a front like Ryan O'Donoghue, you know, the interesting dynamic that I'd have is, like this year would be that like Ryan O'Donoghue really came of age last year in the absence of Killian O'Connor. And I think in the long run, that's probably a good thing because, you know, I think we're all assuming that Killian's going to come straight back in now, particularly with Tommy Conroy gone. And I think have him not been, I suppose, coming in and nearly serving an apprenticeship to Killian O'Connor in his first year, having been the main man up front, I think that will actually help them as a double act, you know, because I think, like, again, Jason Doherty looked good the last day, but I think you know, as a double act inside, Killian O'Connor and Ryan O'Donoghue, they tick an awful lot of boxes for what you're looking in that part of the pitch.
I'm curious. I really enjoyed your piece after the Monaghan game. I recommend people to get online because it is available there. You were just waxing lyrical and superb writing about our Mayo's wingbacks. And you've mentioned already, but like, Paddy Durkin, even your point about Lee Keegan, which you obviously had picked up the fact that the guy had hardly trained, supposedly. Like, they still are doing it for Mayo. Mayo are still built around this concept, aren't they?
And you know what? Like, it was one of those games. You know, whatever about Paddy Durkin and Lee Keegan in Croke Park in August, when they're top of the ground and they're slaloming through tackles, like, this was a heavy pitch in Clonus. Like, they were hard yards. And they were very necessary yards, and they were stopping people. They were turning ball over. They were getting their hits. And to carry the ball, and, you know, this is Mayo's greatest strength and sometimes their greatest weakness, is that, you know, they will carry the ball every single time out of defence. But it just takes an awful lot more out of players. And somebody said to me in the press box beforehand, if Keegan starts this game and he finishes it, he's more superhuman than we think he is. And I mean, we were just about fitting him for a cape afterwards. You know?
I think he was like, I've said it, like, this is a bit kind of like straw, you know, like straw poll stuff or whatever. But I think he was so close to, like, he was 12-1 to be player of the year before last year's All-Ireland final. I mean, if Mayo had hit the back of the net with a couple of those chances and won the All-Ireland, I mean, that's how good he was. And it would have been such a crowning glory. It's just another typical Mayo story. I know we don't want to go on about it too much, but Lee Keegan, like.
But it is unusual that he's doing that this early in the year, because even last year, if you look at it, it was the second half of the Galway game before Lee got moving at all. Like, he wasn't really moving properly at all before then. But by Jesus, when he got moving against Galway, that was it. Then he was moved on to a completely different plane then.
Yeah, I know there wasn't too many happy stories out of the All Ireland final for Mayo, but the one abiding image that I have from a Mayo perspective was after the second goal. And Keegan ran the full length of the pitch from cornerback and stuck over a ridiculous point. And as a display of leadership, rather than anything else, whatever about what it said about his ability as a footballer, but just to kind of, you know, we might be going the wrong direction, but I'm going to make sure that we do everything we possibly can, you know, to finish as well as we can. I thought it was outstanding, you know. And like, just to have him on the pitch, he is one of those players, you know, you sense it when you go around the country, that even opposition fans and players are now looking out for. Like, he is in that sort of bracket of the top players that have ever really played the game, certainly in the last 20 years. And when he gets on the ball, he's just so positive. He's just incredibly positive. He got booked for a shoulder in Clonus that was absolutely thunderous. And I thought it was, and it was like completely on the money. I don't know how you could execute a better shoulder, but he actually hit the player so hard that he had to get a yellow card.
yeah, it was just like a clean hit, but too clean. Listen, like, we'll circle back a little bit to a kind of an overview on Mayo before we get to predictions later in the pod. But you know where we want to go a little bit here now. You're watching them and like, I mean, it's awful to boil it down to Dublin's demise. It's too soon to call. I mean, the cliche right now is everyone's like, you know, X person says Dublin aren't in decline. You know, that's it. Like, oh, wow, what a statement. That said, it's a classic thing in sport around the world. You might see it with Man City a couple of seasons ago or Liverpool the year afterwards. I know I'm just going into obvious stuff there. But, you know, when great teams that you know are great just are lost the funk, Dublin don't seem to have it at the moment. What's your thoughts on it?
Well, they don't. Like, you know, there's you know, I remember after last year kind of saying to a few people, because I just know a lot of people around the scene in Dublin, and, you know, the sort of the golden harvest has sort of come up bare for the last couple of years, just in terms of talent. And there's a big shift in dynamic as well in the profile of the squad. So, like, you know, Dublin could play in the championship this year with, you know, say 12 of the 15 that won the All-Ireland at their ease in 2020. But the players that they have on the bench are going to be, like, it used to be the case where the most experienced players in Dublin and the most decorated players in Dublin were on the bench. And that also meant that they were on the B team the previous week. And it also meant that they were driving. Like, I'll give you an example from Bernard Brogan's book. He was talking about before the Leinster final a couple of years ago. And Brian Howard was coming into his own as one of Dublin's better players. And Kevin McManaman just body checked him in the middle of the pitch and dragged him to the ground. And Howard got up and he started to remonstrating with him, and Kevin McManaman, who had no chance of playing the game at the weekend, said, look, you better get used to it, because this is what Meath are going to do to you next Sunday. And there was a player who knew that he wasn't actually going to get on the pitch unless it was as a very late substitute, but he was taking it upon himself to properly prepare one of the younger players. And that's gone now, you know, like the number of retirees that have come. Like if you take the players at Dublin off the bench in 2017 against Mayo.
That's right, John.
You know, like the Dermot Connolly came on for the second half. Michael Darren McCauley, did Philly McMahon come on?
I think Flynn came on.
Paul Flynn came on.
McManaman came on. Cormac Costello came on. Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
So it's completely different now. Now, it's natural erosion, you know. Like, I think in the last few years, there's no doubt that Kieran Kilkenny and Brian Fenton are driving that Dublin team. They are the leaders of the team. They are running the team. But I think it's now the case that if either of those are slightly off form, you know, they can't be carried anymore. So Dublin will have a good team by the time the championship rolls around. But I think there's 14 new players in the squad this year, which is huge. And I think the way they're trying to give them game time is to have as much of the spine around them. But the big thing from my point of view, just watching them the last 2 days, is that they've become very predictable in how they play. And I think by the time Mayo beat them in the semi-final last year, I think Dublin had nearly evolved themselves into a corner. You know, that game plan of holding possession, picking off your scores, trying to draw the opposition in and running behind, they actually had no recourse when Mayo changed the game plan in the second half. So I think the thing that a lot of people would have been looking out for this year was how Dublin are going to evolve tactically. Now, I expect that would still happen, but there'd be no sign of it so far in the first two games.
Yeah, because certainly the first two games, it looks like it did look like that if you went at them, they weren't really able to stand up to it. You know, I mean, like Armagh got two goals. Now, I know the second one was there was a bit of an outrageous fluke about it. But when Kerry came at them, then they just blitzed them.
And David Byrne was left one-on-one with Rain O'Neill the first day. He was left one-on-one with David Clifford the second day, and there was a lot of green space in front of him. Now, whether he should have been behind him or in front of him, you know, that's obviously a technical question. But again, I expect when the summer comes around that Johnny Cooper will probably fill that space there. So, like, you're talking about putting in to that team Johnny Cooper, Mick Fitzsimons, James McCarthy, Con O'Callaghan, and probably Cormac Costello. So, like, you're going to beef up the team in a very considerable way. But, like, my early read on Dublin is that, like, the days of Dublin being the best team in Ireland and being significantly the best team in Ireland are definitely gone. You know, like, they haven't come back to the pack. They're in the pack. That's not to say they can't win an All-Ireland from the pack, but it'll be a different way of doing it now. This is a new side. It's a new management. And I think it's probably a new culture. And to be honest with you, you know, that defeat last year was probably a welcome thing for Gaelic football because, you know, as successful and as efficient and as brilliant as they have become as a team, they weren't the most thrilling side of all time in the last three All-Irelands of the six in a row. You know, they played a very methodical, a bit like the conversation about Manchester City, you know. You know, it's great to watch a team have 87% possession of the ball, but is it exciting, you know? And I think that's what happened with Dublin last year. And, I I'm glad to see the kind of, you know, the nature of sport is that, eventually, if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get beaten and you have to reinvent yourself. And that is the challenge for them now because they are vulnerable. And Kerry really enjoyed themselves in Tralee last week. And if there's a knife in their backs at the moment, I'm absolutely certain that there's no better group of Buccos than Mayo to try and twist it this weekend because, you know, they might not get another opportunity to do something to Dublin here, you know.
I'm interested in something John said there, which is like Armagh were running at Dublin and getting stuck into them and so were Kerry. How big was the way Mayo came back against them? You know, like the image of Tommy Conroy taking on two Dublin players, going through them and kicking it over. It's such a defiant thing in Gaelic football. It's almost been lost in the last few years. The classic forward takes on the back and beats them. How big was the way they lost to destabilising them this season?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the thing about it is Mayo probably weren't set up in the first half. I mean, if Mayo had played in the first half had they played in the second half, I don't think, you know, the game would have had that dynamic at all. Dublin sort of knew that Mayo would try and run the ball from very deep and Dublin kept possession very well. And, you know, again, like, you know, the glory days of Dermot Connolly and Paul Flynn kicking points from underneath the stand, that just didn't happen anymore. It's all from more or less around the D. So they had it perfected. But I think that because they're so well drilled and so well honed, when somebody did something else that they weren't expecting, pressed up all over the pitch, they just hadn't properly, they looked like a team who hadn't properly faced it before. And I think key to that game plan that Dublin tried to play is pace. So if you're trying to suck in the opposition and all your players are being marked, you need to beat one tackler. If you beat one tackler, it all opens up. And I think without Jack McCaffrey, they just didn't have that player. And Owen Murchison went off as well, who'd be the other ball carrier who would kind of open that up for him. So, you know, you have to remember as well, they've lost Paul Mannion and Jack McCaffrey kind of in the flushes of their youth, you know, when they should be coming into their absolute prime. So, yeah, it is very, very funny because this time last year, we were having conversations with, you know, with people about, you know, will they ever be beaten? And like, no sooner are they being beaten that like we're wondering, are they going to be relegated? Yeah. But no, like, you're right. Like, the second half of the Mayo game, it was like the last days of an empire. Like, it was, you know, pillars crumbling.
The passing across the back line was just, I think I'll remember that in 60 years. If I'm just like, I probably won't be on the planet at that point. But anyways, you know, you won't forget that. It was like, what is happening?
It was end of day stuff. Yeah, it was end of day stuff. You know?
But listen,
but that's the big thing from the Dublin point of view is I watched their forwards against Armagh and Croke Park and they weren't even showing for the ball because the ball was not being kicked into them.
And even when they had it as well, and this is a kind of a thing with Dublin in recent years as well, there was a marked reluctance to shoot unless the opportunity was straight out of the textbook. Like there was, and that meant a huge amount of recycling, and that kind of feeds into what you were saying about the boring nature of it. Like it's you know, football meets accountancy, if you like. And I think the more trouble they got into, the more you saw that, you know, there was even more reluctance to be the man who would take the shot. And then, God forbid, he might miss, you know.
And the funny thing about it is, and this is, again, the brilliant nature of sport, but like Dublin only needed to hang on and concede one fewer point in the second half against Mayo. And they were into a final against Tyrone, a team.
If Robbie
against
had missed that kick,
a team against whom they've basically perfected a style of playing. So we could be sitting here saying, "Well, Dublin have lost a couple of league matches, but they're actually 7 in a row All Ireland champions, and they're never going to be beaten. And we need to split them into 20."
this podcast has never subscribed to such nonsense. We just wanted to find a way to beat them. But listen, like towards the weekend, right? And with that in mind, you said something which is interesting, which is it seems like in Dublin there's a little bit of a looking for signs of an evolving game plan. That's all we're talking about in Mayo. Are there any signs of anything new? That's what we've been saying. Do you think this is the day? Do you think next Saturday night is the day where both teams experiment a little bit, evolve a little bit? How is this game going to play out next Saturday night?
I don't think that at all. I think there's too much riding on the result. I think there's probably more riding on the result of this league game than any other league game for both of these teams. So now what might facilitate that is the fact that they've had 2 weeks since the last game. But unless the teams bring back, and I don't know what the story is with Dublin's kind of, I don't think they're injured, just their older parties who they'll be very slow to bring back into it this year. And I don't know what the story is with Mayo's injured players, but James Horan said that Killian is unlikely to play this weekend. And I don't know what the story is with Oisín Mullen, but I think unless there's 3 or 4 additions to the teams coming in this weekend, it's highly unlikely that they're going to change much. Because there's a bit of a currency, I think, in keeping things under your hat as well. You know, I mean, I have no doubt that Desi Farrell has got ideas as to how Dublin can evolve. But he has gone on the record now as saying that his big priority is trialing players and seeing whether they're able to cope. So I think trying to do the two at the same time might be a little bit much. And, you know, whatever way you want to look at it, you know, Dublin, between the end of the league and the start of the championship, and by the start of the championship, I mean the Leinster final, you know, because that's effectively the first time they'll be tested. They have a big window there in which to hone a game plan. So, you know, what we're seeing is a series of trials, basically. But, you know, it's hard to interpret it as that once, you know, teams like Dublin and Kerry and Mayo all start to get stuck into each other. It seems like the end of the world and the most important thing on earth. You know?
It's funny because as you by contrast, Mayo haven't got that time frame. They've got an April date with Galway, one of the form teams outside of Division One. They gotta be really hitting the ground running then.
Yeah, and it's all Galway against Meath. And I know it was a bizarre day down in Salt Hill, but they look really, really good. And in the areas where they haven't been good, or where they've had maybe issues that they needed to solve, like Sean Kelly was outstanding at fullback, really, really outstanding. In an area where they just lost Mulcairn for the entire year, Tom O'Culhane scored a goal as well, and he was one of the lesser of the Galway forwards on the day. And you're looking at it saying, well, if they get Damien Comer back into it, but the thing that impressed me also about Galway was just that at the end of last year and in the off season, there was plenty of talk of unrest. They sounded a bit like a camp that was about to split down the middle, but they look really, really unified and they've had two good wins.
We're okay with that though, Conor. You know, like talk of you know, sweetness and light and milk and honey and Galway in February is perfect. And the more those forwards are talked up, the better.
That's the bias there, John. Well, not the bias. It's just the perfect scenario for Mayo, really. Barry Colnan's listening to this now going, I'm going to get on that podcast next week and sort these guys out. Yeah, look, we'll move towards predictions in a second, and we got some highlights for our listeners. You know, James Horan, Mayo, would it be significant, or do you think it'll have a material benefit for Mayo to put another victory in if they were to face Dublin in the summer, which is highly likely, depending on the way the draw plays out, that Mayo and Dublin are going to be in there in that last four, Kerry as well. Presumably you'd agree with that. It seems like it's possible again. How significant is the result? Mayo laying down another marker?
I think it would be absolutely massive. Like if you take it, the last time prior to last year, the Mayo beat Dublin was 2012, and they beat them twice that year. They beat them in the league game in Castlebar, that was refixed after the fog, and then in the All-Ireland semi-final. And like the thing about it is, you know, if you're from Dublin, you can nearly write off one loss to Mayo last year and say, okay, well, we didn't lose a game for 7 years. So what are you going to do? You're going to lose again. But if you lose again, then it starts to become something else. And I think,
and the flip side is true as well. Like, because if we don't back it up, then it feels more like a blip.
And I think if Dublin lose this, like the crisis narrative becomes a little bit stronger. Whether it's true or not, it will become a thing. But I think, and like if Dublin win this game, like Mayo could facilitate a very easy respite for Dublin, because if they win this game, really, then Dublin can get on with doing whatever they want for the rest of the league. If you're good enough to beat Mayo on Croke Park, you know you're really not that far back, as people might have suggested after the first two games. So look, it depends really, because we have these conversations and supporters have these conversations. But you know, I'd be fairly confident that James Horan and Desi Farrell have their troops kind of nicely aligned, and you know, like they're not going to suffer too much, I think, if they lose, and I don't think they're going to celebrate too much if they win. But it will definitely change the noise around the two teams. You know, like if Mayo go and they win in Croke Park after winning in Clonus. I know that Sam Maguire is not giving out in February, but like, you know, I think all you have to do is take Kerry out and you're kind of halfway there. Because genuinely, like, is there another team in Ireland that's kind of in as good form or as good a shape as Mayo? Maybe Kerry, you know.
But I think just to, and Rob made the point, like the date that's circled in all our diaries is 24th of April. So I think we'll quickly lose interest in the league regardless, you know, in that that's the focus.
Yeah, the great thing about the league is it absolutely consumes you when it's on, because it's brilliant, because the games come so quickly. There's so many talking points. Like, you know, if you have an injury, you need to be fit 6 days later. There's teams playing against teams of the same standard. There's rivalries coming together all over the place. And then as soon as summer comes around, nobody remembers what happens in the league. Like it's just this kind of absolute immediate amnesia, you know. But it's great while it goes on.
As I said, we have to hide our link to the league final celebration podcast that we had a couple of years ago, because we look back at it now. In the context of the moment, it was like breakthrough on the way to something. Now you look back and go, jeez, if they won it this year, the contrast would be stunning. But it's the same for everyone. Different needs at different times. Let's pause for a second. Here's myself and John just chatting about some of the Patreon highlights from this week.
Want even more Mayo football podcasts? Become a member of our Patreon club to get bonus pods, join our Discord chat group, and ask us anything about Mayo football. All for just €5 a month plus VAT. Go to patreon.com/Mayo Podcast.
Okay, listeners, if you haven't yet signed up to patreon.com/Mayo Podcast, do that, because you're going to get so much more content than what we have here. This is just a little dabble into what we're doing at the moment. We wanted to give you some highlights because we're so excited about what we have in content this week. For example, before I even ask John about this, here is a segment from the Question and Answers podcast where the listeners, our Patreon members, picked out the questions, asked them to Billy Joe and Edwin, and the lads, well, they enjoyed answering them. Here's an example of it, as they talk through whether James Horan's new way of playing has a plan B. Let's see. We'll get into some more general things going forward. So with that in mind, JOC asks, if plan A is Hornball, what is plan B? And Inside Out kind of expanded on that a little bit, just in terms of concerns, or should we be concerned with the All-Ireland performance, highlighting a blueprint in how to beat Horan. And it's that idea that teams are fully prepared for the way we're going to play. So again, he's kind of asking, is there a plan B? What is it? I might go back to you on that, Billy Joe.
I think we talk about this, a plan A and plan B. You can't always look at this that it's a negative, that you don't necessarily have a really effective plan B. I suppose the point I'd make is that Pep Guardiola teams play with plan A. They don't deviate from that. They're still the best team in Europe because they can execute plan A really, really effectively. It's if we had won All-Ireland just playing the way we played last year, we wouldn't be worrying about plan B now. If you went out, if James Horan was on this call and probably was not being recorded, he'd probably say, well, you know what, if we played a bit better to plan A, we might have an All-Ireland in the bag. And he'd probably be right that a better execution of the original plan in the All-Ireland final last year might have closed the deal. But at the same time, having that flexibility, having that ability to change things up would make you a stronger team, make you a more comprehensive team. But at the same time, you have to play to the strengths that you have. And I'm listening to a lot of American football talk these last couple of days, with the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. And a lot of the talk about offensive strategies in American football are based around the idea that you make use of the skill sets of the players that you have at your disposal, particularly in an offensive setting. Whereas in the past, it was all about, this is the coach's scheme and he's going to imprint this scheme to the team that he has, and he's going to run this scheme and over again. And that is kind of seen as an old-fashioned way of doing things. You have to now tailor your approach, your game plan, to the skills that you have. And that's something that James Horan is doing, because I think we'd all agree that the real attributes that we have as Mayo is that running power in the middle of the field, that ability to play off the shoulder. Now, we'd all agree, though, if Tommy Conroy was fit, if Killian O'Connor was on the field, maybe we would have the opportunity to tweak it a bit better, because we would have been looking then at a full forward line of a strength, of a diversity that we'd never seen before, because you have all the experience and cleverness of Killian, the speed and direct running of Tommy Conroy, and just the quickness and ingenuity of somebody like Ryan O'Donoghue. We don't have that at the minute. So I still maintain, play to your strengths. That's important.
Yeah, and I think the number one thing James Horan will be looking to do this year is to improve plan A. I think he will see where that has worked, and that I think it's something that suits Mayo's style of football, and certainly the footballers in the squad. And that's something you have to be very conscious of. And they're definitely, like Billy Joe is 100% right, like, you know, Mayo win the All-Ireland last year, Mayo take their chances, et cetera, et cetera. But you do have to have that little bit of flexibility. I don't think it's something you go for straight away, but you have to be comfortable adapting to games as they're playing out, and particularly certain type of opponents, like Tyrone are the example we'll keep referring to. When Tyrone make it difficult, you do have to mix it up. And there is a general consensus that when the game was going away from Mayo in the second half, they didn't mix it up enough. And so therefore, that's where the little bit of flexibility comes into it. But, you know, we're over a decade listening to James Horan, and there is no way that James Horan is going to rip it up and start again at this stage. He feels that Hornball, as we've called it, that plan A, call it what you want, that is Mayo's best chance of winning an All-Ireland. And anything other than that, I think is a contingency. And it should be there. But I don't think Mayo are going to win an All-Ireland without playing plan A 80% of the time, you know. But they are going to need to be able to adapt. And even just decide at different stages in the game where we need to manage it. We need to slow it down. We need to play at a controlled tempo, and we need to take this thing out of the game. But sometimes it just has to be fifth gear or nothing. And that's one of the issues you'd have with plan A, with how Mayo play.
Yeah, I'd just add to that again, in complete agreement, that, you know, we have to look at the evidence we've seen as well. For me, Aidan O'Shea at full forward is plan B. because it's not the type of football we normally play. We normally run it through the hands, play off the shoulder. Whereas Aidan O'Shea at full forward is, he's a big target man. He's, you know, a good ball winner. Can we play the ball into him? That's something different. And if you're asking me, that hasn't worked in the big games. It just hasn't worked against the better opponents. So, you know, why would you persist with plan B when something that you have evidence that doesn't work, whereas you have plan A, which has given you much more success relatively. So yeah, you're right. We will require more honing of plan A. Ed's right. We've spoke about this on for years about having that patience and that game management side of it as being as important as anything. Adding to plan A as opposed to a totally different strategy.
That's just one example of what's online this week, John. You were covering the Mayo ladies. Lisa Caffrey was chatting to Mike last week, and the lead into that was a great chat about all things ladies GA and some of the challenges right across the board for some of our best young female athletes in the country who are involved in Gaelic Games, and some of the hope that's coming through in terms of grants and potential merging of the two organizations that I think everyone backs. So that's just an example of the audio, but you were on Discord as well following Mayo in their victory over Westmead on Saturday night.
Yeah, that's right. And hopefully that's going to be something that will be a feature from now on. Helped, I have to say, by the LGFA's streaming service. So all the matches are being streamed. So hopefully I'll be able to see most of them, if not all of them. And if I'm able to see them, I'll be able to do updates for Discord on them. So it was tough keeping up with the scoring of that one, Rob. 7-22 is quite a difficult score to keep up with, but it's a great performance. Yeah,
you're a fan of your IPAs and finding a nice one. So I think you needed a really good one there after that particular effort on Saturday.
I needed one. I did, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, that's enough of that. And look, as we see, you've heard the Q&A highlights, we really enjoy doing that. There is some fantastic stuff. I was saying to you, John, that Alan Dillon and the loss of his playmaking role even came up in the conversation off one of the best questions in there. So it just shows you it can take you in any direction.
Yeah, I wasn't quite expecting that, but it was great. And I think, we owe a debt of gratitude to our Patreon subscribers, because we did get a lot of questions. What I liked was the breadth of questions as well. You know, and a lot of them are very much linked to the two games that we've played. So, you know, somebody was asking me today, is that the only one you're going to do? And clearly it isn't. We're going to do others. But I think they will be informed by the season as it goes along, you know, because you could imagine, you know, we play Dublin, then we play Armagh. If we do another Q&A after that, I'd say the questions would just be completely different.
Yeah, that's what we said. It was very broad to start, but yeah, it'll start to hone in on specific areas, and we're looking forward to that. Coming up this week, for example, for our members, Here Comes the Weekend is our show just before the weekend, where we usually have a little bit of chat around whatever team news is out. And of course, we'll have a special guest on to really hone in on the game, but it's more of a fun kind of on the couch before the game. Also, throughout the weekend, match day, straight afterwards, you know, within a few hours, we'll have what we call the Final Whistle podcast, just a 10-minute wrap from the ground. So that's to look forward to. And if that's not enough, the next day you have your game podcast. That's all for members only before we get back to you guys again midweek for the free podcast. In the meantime, as we link back to this week's podcast, here it is, the piece de resistance of this week's content. Mickey C, chatting to Mike Finnerty, war stories galore. Here's an example of some of them.
Brilliant, brilliant. Have you any particular favourite Dublin memory, Mickey, from your career? It may well have been that night, but yeah, as you said, the Mayo Dublin games were always a bit special. You had plenty of cracks at them over the years. Anyone that stands out? Any particular?
Do you know what? I have a stupid one, and it's silly, but it was very personal to me on the day in 2012, the All Ireland semi final. I played against Down, and I'd actually played pretty well. I scored 2-1 in the quarter final. And I got injured. I hurt my right foot, my right hamstring, I think it was, that night. And I hadn't trained much going into the Dublin game, but James was lucky enough to give me the start, because I'd gone fairly well, right? So, but I'd done unbelievable amount of practice off my left foot in the lead up to it. I was kicking everything off my left. And I remember doing a bit of work with Kieran Shannon, and I said to him, if I score a point off my left foot, we're going to the All-Ireland final. And I think about maybe 10 minutes in, Aidan O'Shea put in a ball to me and hopped lovely in front of me. and the chance came to have a rattle at one off the left, and it came off. And you know, I just had it in my head that, yeah, this is it, you know what I mean? And that was beautiful. It was into the hill, you know, it was into the hill, and I was marking Mick Fitzsimons at the time, and I was giving him plenty of it. He was taken off. He was taken off, and actually I thought I finished him, but he came back out of nowhere. I don't know where he came from. He must have rebuilt his confidence of some pooky corner forward, Mike. But yeah, that memory was special to me. That was a great day for us as well. And kicked us into an All-Ireland final in 2012. And as I said, you know, from nearly the league game that night to even the getting to the All-Ireland final, for since then, I think Mayo have been at the top table. And as I said, you know, James and you know, has done a huge amount of work there from his first stint and his second stint to keep the team going and keep them really, really competitive. I think he's a lot to, you know, he needs huge credit for in the transition as well. A lot of lads have gone, new lads have come in, and he's done a fantastic job for me.
All right, prediction time. Before we get to the smoking room, which is for our Patreon listeners only, where we talk about whatever you like, lads. I hope you have some good any other business. I've been thinking about it myself here now. But we got to get to the old fun and games of trying to predict a game without even knowing the teams. It's not easy, Connor, but sure, look, we're putting you on the spot. I mean, look, first of all, you've teed it up nicely just before that break. It's going to be a cracker. If it opens up at all, people are going to be buzzing with this game.
Yeah, I think so. I do think Mayo will win just because, I mean, you can only really go on the evidence that you have. And I saw both Mayo and Dublin in their last league game and, you know, it was chalk and cheese. And I think Mayo just have, you know, talking about Paddy Durkin and Lee Keegan, Mayo have more of those kind of, you know, load-bearing elements of their team in it, and Dublin have a few more of them to come back. Now, if they came back on Saturday night, it would be a different story. You know, if James McCarthy or Conor Callaghan or both, or even Mick Fitzsimons in an area where Dublin are badly struggling in the full back line at the moment, I think that could, I'm not saying it would tip it the other way, but I'd definitely give it a second thought. But no, judging by the lineups of the last, if we were to go by the lineups and the performances of the last game, I'd have to give it to Mayo. And now again, we're talking about making league predictions off the basis of games that happened 2 weeks ago. So it's not an exact science. But no, I think Mayo could go into this one with a fair bit of confidence. And I think you could be sure about predicting the kind of performance they give you than Dublin.
Can I let John give you a stat on Mayo's record in league games in Dublin and see if you change your mind, John?
Yeah.
Brace yourself, Connor.
Yeah, it's quite a grim one. We have never beaten Dublin in a regulation league match played in Dublin.
Ever.
And I say regulation for because we actually have beaten them in league semi-finals and league finals. We've beaten them in two semi-finals and two finals. But the most recent time we have beaten Dublin in Dublin was in 1971 in the league semi-final that year.
There you go.
Wow. Well, there you go. Like, we're talking about whether we've seen any signs of anything new from Mayo. And, you know, in the absence of kind of many new players, like clearly going in a game in Dublin against Dublin would be something new, you know. And, you know, I would be surprised if Mayo didn't go after this one in a way that maybe they haven't in the past, or they haven't been able to in the past, because the opportunity is there. I think they've enough of their players back. I wouldn't be surprised if Aidan O'Shea played at the weekend, just because he's Aidan O'Shea and it's Croke Park, and that Dublin full back line is, I'm not saying he'll necessarily start full forward, but he could kind of drift and wander in there from 11 or whatever it is. But I think, yeah, the opportunity is definitely there for Mayo to go and win that game. And I'm not sure Dublin will be as vulnerable again, you know, the next time they play them in the league game in Croke Park, because there are a lot of, by the process of elimination, there's a lot of players in this Dublin team that just haven't played at this level before.
John, you call it before we say goodbye to our listeners.
Well, I've too much scar tissue from this particular fixture, I have to say. I remember there was one year that I went, and I think it was 2017. And I left, I think it was the afters of a confirmation or something, but whatever it was, anyway, I had a good drop inside me before I went to Croker, and I kind of tore myself away from the festivities as well, because we were playing Dublin, and Dublin had a very inexperienced team selected for it, and which they played, and we seemed to have a lot of our championship team out, And it was like that. We just didn't show up. And I remember I was about 20 minutes in and I was just blowing fumes. And I said, what am I doing here? Why didn't I stay where I was? Like, what, you know, what have I not learned? Okay. So that's the kind of scar tissue I have. I like, and I'm a doubting Thomas in this one until I see it, until, you know, I see it at, you know, 76 minutes and we're ahead on the scoreboard. I won't believe it. I think I find it hard to see that we'll win this game.
We were both at the Donegal fixture. Obviously, you were at the Clones one. I was up in Crow Park watching Kilmina. But yeah, that first half against Donegal has me doubting it as well for now. So maybe we'll be a quite an unusual Mayo football podcast here by both predicting Dublin wins. And we'll have Connor on to save the day. That's it from us. But stick with us for the smoking room if you're listening on Patreon. In the meantime, for our regular listeners, we'll chat to you in a week. Thanks, Connor.
Cheers, lads. Thanks,
John. Thanks, John.